Hello, and welcome to the Full Circle Podcast, your source for insights into the science and art of endurance sports training and racing. I'm your host, Coach Laura Henry. We were all beginners once, but we often forget this. There once was a time when we hadn't ever run a mile, swam a lap in a pool, or when we weren't able to balance on a bicycle. Even if we learned how to do these things on a fundamental level, such as swimming for safety, or running as fun and as part of play with friends, or being able to balance on a two-wheeled bike, there was still a time when we didn't do any of these things as part of a regular exercise routine, let alone actually training for something. Here's some important perspective. According to the State of Running 2019, which is an analysis and report conducted by RunRepeat.com and World Athletics, here are some statistics about running race participation. It's worth noting that this report from 2019 is the most recent one conducted, and a link to the full report is included in the show notes. Worldwide, about 8 million individuals participate in a running race each year. The 5K distance and the half marathon are tied as the most popular running race distances, with 2.9 million people running 5Ks every year and 2.1 million people running half marathons every year. So this means that 0.1% of people worldwide do a running race every year. In the United States, about 328,200 people participate in running races each year. This is about 0.1% of the U.S. population, so this is in line with the worldwide statistic of 0.1% of all humans. For marathons, 1.1 to 1.3 million people will run a marathon every year. This is a mere 0.017% of all people. This isn't even 0.02%. Marathons only account for 14% of all running race results worldwide. So only 14% of people who finish a running race do it in a marathon. Triathlons are just as extraordinary as running races. According to triathlete.com, approximately 400,000 individuals participate in triathlons in the United States each year. When it comes to Ironman, the numbers are even more shocking. Approximately 100,000 people participate in a full Ironman every year. This is total numbers of participation, which includes athletes who do more than one race. The number of unique individuals racing an Ironman is an estimate, and it's about 78,000, according to most estimates. This number is less than 0.00% of all people. It's 0.001% of all people. This means that 0.001% of all people participate in an Ironman every year. It is also worth noting that according to the Statista Research Department, approximately 49 million people in the United States run or jog for exercise. So that number equates to about 15% of the U.S. population. Once you become an endurance athlete or you're friends with endurance athletes, something tricky sneaks up on you. Once you start hanging out with these people who do endurance sports, and once you become part of the endurance sports community yourself, you lose perspective about what normal is and what extraordinary is when it comes to endurance sports. The reason is simple. When a lot of the people around you are doing something, such as running a marathon or training for an Ironman, it starts to seem like that these are normal things that everyone does and that anyone can do. The truth is that only a very small number of people in the world actually do these things. And while I do believe firmly that anyone can train for endurance sports goals with the right approach, the right timeline, emphasis on the right timeline, and the right mindset, the fact is that very few people can actually appreciate and employ that kind of patient approach. This means that very few people, relatively speaking, when compared with the total population of the world, actually can train for endurance sports and set goals in endurance sports. A lot of people exercise. A lot of people have a daily movement practice. A lot of people want to engage in habits that are healthy and that give them longevity and a high quality of life. Far fewer people train. There is an important distinction between exercise and training, and it's important to be honest about which category you fall into. Exercise is physical activity for its possible health benefits. Training is physical activity with a specific longer-term goal in mind, usually improved performance in a particular sport, whether that performance improvement is to do a longer distance than what you've done before or to do something faster than you've done it before. It is most important that you be honest with yourself about whether you exercise or train. That being said, if you work with a coach, a trainer, or some other kind of fitness professional, you also need to be honest with them about whether you exercise or train. You also need to be honest with your family about whether or not you exercise or train. But first and foremost, you need to ask yourself which category you fall into, and you need to answer that question honestly. Sometimes you can waffle between the two. Using myself as an example, ever since I decided to focus on being the best coach I could be, that meant that I needed to downgrade how much mental energy I was spending on my own physical activity. It was very challenging for me to be simultaneously very invested in my own training and results while also investing myself wholeheartedly into the training and results of the athletes I was working with. I found that I needed to choose which one I would focus on and give my best energies to. I chose coaching. So in pragmatic terms, this means that most of the time, I'm exercising these days. But every once in a while, I find something that sparks my interest, and I switch to training for a bit. And then, once I see that goal through, I switch back to exercising. While people who train often like the health benefits that they get from training, these health benefits are honestly secondary to what they are really seeking from their physical activity. So they aren't exercising. Their training. The statistics that I shared earlier regarding running and running race participation illustrate this. 49 million people in the United States run for exercise every year. Only 328,200 people in the United States run in a race every year. This is 0.67% of the total number of people who run in the United States. There are far more people who exercise than who train. Some sort of goal is the primary motivator for most athletes who train. What kind of goal it can be varies from person to person. It could be finishing a distance that the athlete has never done before, doing a race in a sport that the athlete has never done before, so such as a runner who maybe wants to do a triathlon, finishing a race in a particular time, qualifying for something like the Boston Marathon, USA Triathlon Nationals, or the Ironman World Championship. In addition to the goals that they say out loud, athletes who are training and who are setting goals often have what I call secret goals. A secret goal is a goal that athletes tell no one but themselves. Even if they are claiming that they quote-unquote just want to finish, they often, read almost always, have at least a secondary goal that is performance-based or time-based in mind that they've actually set for themselves. This is true whether or not the athlete shares this secondary or secret goal. I've seen this happen many, many, many times. Athletes will deny to me, but more importantly to themselves, that they have a secondary or a secret goal. Then race day comes and they are disappointed with their race result because they didn't hit their secret goal. The thing is, and the hard truth is, that they didn't necessarily have an actual good shot at ever hitting the secret goal, precisely because they denied it and they kept it a secret. You cannot hit a target that you are not openly aiming for. A classic example of this playing out is when athletes tell me that they, quote-unquote, just want to finish a race. Here's some hard truths. If you are truly okay with just finishing, then that means that you are okay with finishing within minutes of the time limit for the race that you're doing. Some examples of this include finishing in 16 hours, 59 minutes at an Ironman. Ironmans have time limits of 17 hours. Finishing in 8 hours, 29 minutes at an Ironman 70.3. Ironman 70.3s have time limits of 8 hours and 30 minutes. Averaging 15 minutes and 55 seconds pace and finishing in 6 hours 57 minutes at the Walt Disney World Marathon. The Walt Disney World Marathon has a cutoff pace of 16 minutes per mile, and that translates to an overall time limit of about 7 hours. Most athletes, when they hear it stated like that, would probably shake their head and say, oh no, I'm not actually okay with that. And if that's true, then the hard reality is that you're not okay with just finishing. You do have a goal. You have a secret goal that you haven't stated. So be careful if you catch yourself saying, I just want to finish. Ask yourself, is that actually true? Because if you're okay with just finishing, you're okay with finishing in any time within the allowable time limits. It is really important to be truthful with yourself about what you want out of your training. It's important to be honest with yourself about what success means to you. For athletes who train, just doing something generally doesn't meet their definition of success. Just by training for endurance sports and just by setting goals in endurance sports, you are radically different than literally a majority of the world. You are extraordinary in the literal sense of the word. Extraordinary means very unusual or remarkable. When you are part of less than 1% of all people, You are extraordinary. It is incredibly important to keep this perspective in mind. It's not to be arrogant or to have you feel like you're quote unquote better than another human. It's about having a pragmatic framework from which to work from when you are considering goals and or the things that you want to take on in your training. Just because 10 or more of your friends have done an Ironman doesn't mean that it's something easy or that anyone can do it. Just because a lot of the runners you know have run a marathon doesn't mean that 26.2 miles is an insignificant distance to cover and train for. Just because a 5K is quote unquote only 3.1 miles and only is definitely in air quotes here doesn't mean that it's not a significant accomplishment to run a 5K race. Over the years, I've observed how this loss of perspective clouds athletes' visions when it comes to goal setting. It manifests in a few ways that I've observed. Athletes who have watched other people that are close to them do something, such as a marathon or Ironman, think that it will be easy enough for them to train for too. Athletes who have seen friends or peers in their gender and age demographics qualify for events such as USA Triathlon Nationals, the Ironman 70.3 World Championship, the Ironman World Championship, or the Boston Marathon think that they will be able to qualify for the same things. I keep bringing up marathons and Ironman distance races because these are the two goals where I see this loss of perspective manifest the most in my work, but it can apply to other endurance sports, disciplines, distances, and goals. Let's be clear. I am not saying that people cannot or should not set big goals and that they shouldn't be inspired by the big goals of others when they are setting their goals. What I'm saying is that it's important to set goals with a proper perspective. That proper perspective is a pragmatic perspective, and it's a perspective that appreciates the full scope of the goals that you're considering setting for yourself. Here are some questions that are important to ask yourself when it comes to goal setting. Where exactly are you now ability-wise? When we ask this question, we are asking, where are you actually right now? Not where do you wish you were, not what do you think you might be able to do someday. Where are you now? What paces are you running now? What power outputs do you have now? How far can you go now? What is your athletic training history? How long have you been training? What sports have you trained in? What is your recent training history in endurance sports? How consistent have you been with training in the last 1 to 5 years? How important is this goal to you? Is it truly more important to you than other things? Remember, a goal is a thing that is more important to you than other things. Big goals, such as training for and racing a marathon or a long course triathlon, need to be in the top three things that you are going to be prioritizing in your daily life. I have watched athletes over the years try to have it be in the top five or the top 10, and they're not as successful as the athletes who place it in the top three. If you want to be successful and you want to see true results and feel good along the way, it really needs to be in the top three, in my experience. In most cases, the timeline for that level of prioritization in the top three is at least 6 months, but it's often longer. Honestly, it usually needs to be for 12 to 36 months, so 1 to 3 years. Big, big goals, such as qualifying for the Boston Marathon, the Ironman 70.3 World Championship, or the Ironman World Championship, usually need to be in the top two things that are more important than other things in your life. This can be hard for folks. It can be hard to deprioritize something else that has been important to you. But if you want to not only participate in a sport that so few people participate in, but then achieve a goal that so few people actually achieve within that sport, you are in that 0.000% of people. So that means that it needs to be in the top two most important things in your life. Unless you are genetically gifted and have a lot of inherent natural ability, big, big goals often have a longer timeline that they need to be at this level of priority. It's usually several years. Honestly, chances are that you don't have natural or genetic ability. It's exceptionally rare for people to have that kind of talent. So you are probably going to need to be the person who plans for a practical, long timeline to achieve these big, big goals. And finally, is the goal that you've stated your real goal, or is a secret goal your real goal? You need to be very clear about what your goals actually are. If you harbor a secret goal, the probability that you won't hit that secret goal goes up, especially if you are working with a coach. If the coach doesn't know what the goal is, what they recommend will not be in alignment with what your goal is. And therefore, the training that you're doing won't be setting you up to try to hit that goal. You need to share the goal. Goals are like a target. We can aim for it and have a reasonable chance of hitting it if we can see it. But if we can't see what we are actually aiming for, we are much more likely to miss the target, or in this case, the goal. If you don't have this pragmatic perspective, you may find out along the way that you're in over your head. This can be extremely frustrating and discouraging. I've seen athletes who are in this situation wonder what's quote unquote wrong with them. And that might be what happens for you too. There probably isn't actually anything wrong with you. What's probably true is this. Since you thought that this was a quote unquote normal goal, you didn't give yourself enough time to properly prepare for the goal to include increasing your capacity to be able to meet the demands of the event or the goal that you just set. Remember, if the load being imposed exceeds your capacity, you have an increased chance of injury and/or of missed goals. Proper timelines are really important for goal setting and, by extension, goal achievement. My experience has shown me that most athletes can achieve most, if not all, of the goals that they set as long as those goals are properly prioritized in their life, aka the goal is getting their first fruits, and with appropriate timelines, which, as I stated earlier, are sometimes many years. Most athletes decide on a goal or a race, and then however much time is left until that race is how long they give themselves to prepare for the goal. This is also how long they expect it will take for them to be ready to meet that goal. This is an improper way to go about goal setting. Based on the answers to the questions that we posed earlier, this may not actually be the timeline that you need. You may actually need more time. The more extraordinary the goal, the more you need to be patient with the process and let how you're progressing inform how and when you will decide to make your attempt at the goal. For instance, if you want to do an Ironman, you may need to spend several years getting used to the sport of triathlon and to the rhythm of your training. If you want to achieve a particular time-based result, you may need to see how you're actually progressing time-wise and how much time it's actually taking you to get faster and to make progress. Remember, training adaptations and progress are not linear. Even if the trend is up over time, that is not a straight line for almost everybody. There's going to be bumps along the way, but the overall line or the trend is going to be up for most situations. Becoming an endurance athlete is an extraordinary thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful community that's supportive, and it's a great group of friends when you get into it. Being an endurance athlete is also a fun and interesting way to see the world. However, at the end of the day, if you're an endurance athlete who is training and setting goals, you are a very small percentage of all humans on the planet. It's incredibly important to keep this perspective in mind when contemplating what goals you want to set and what path you want to embark on. Respect the distance and the magnitude of what you are doing and what you might hope to be doing. This perspective will help you to be able to set authentic, appropriate goals for yourself and to increase your chances of not just surviving, but thriving en route to them. That was another episode of the Full Circle Podcast. Subscribe to the Full Circle Podcast wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. If you like what you listen to, please be sure to leave us a rating and review, as this goes a long way in helping us reach others. The thoughts and opinions expressed on the Full Circle Podcast are those of the individual. As always, we love to hear from you and we value your feedback. Please send us an email at podcast@fullcircleendurance.com or visit us at fullcircleendurance.com/podcast. To find training plans, see what other coaching services we offer, or to join our community, please visit fullcircleendurance.com. I'm Coach Laura Henry. Thanks for listening.